Welcome to Best of Art Beat, your weekly podcast cherry-picking the best of arts and cultural conversations in Boorloo, Perth and beyond. This week, host Beck Bowman teams up with producer Danae Gibson for a special 45th birthday bash episode celebrating the weird, wacky and wonderful history of RTR FM 92.1. Kath Lech, RTR FM's first station manager, dialed in to chat about the history of the station as well as her deep love for community radio. Curator, artist and longtime friend of RTR FM, Lee Kinsella, stops by to share her memories of playing in a local rock band and when she first discovered the sound alternative. And Robert Fletcher joins the team to unpack Ethos, one of the station's first flagship programs championing LGBTQIA+ rights.
You're listening to Art Beat. I'm Danae and Beck is with me too. We're sharing the desk today. Such a treat.
I'm pressing the buttons and you're giving me advice.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, we're about to speak to the person that first gave me advice about community radio. The first time I sat in on a radio program, it was Drastic on Plastic around 1991 in the old Sanders Building in UWA campus many, many years ago. Kath Lech is the Digital Radio Project Manager for the peak body of community broadcasting in Australia, the CBAA. Kath was a long-time general manager of Triple R in Melbourne. And what must feel like a lifetime ago, she was a station manager of RTR FM. In fact, I don't think we'd be celebrating 45 years of this 6 UWA UVS RTR FM 92.1 without Kath's work. She's on the phone. Kath, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you and everyone at RTR, Danae.
I'm so excited to chat with you. Thank you for putting down whatever it is that you're doing to share with us perhaps some of your early memories of the station that you are allowed to share on the air, because I bet there are plenty that wouldn't pass muster.
Yes, there's probably a few that don't belong on the airwaves. And it's such a long time ago, I always feel a bit anxious talking about things that are so far back. And people ask questions and you think, I don't know, I can't remember anything. It was, you know, 35 years ago. But, yeah, it was funny listening to your introduction and thinking about the old building of what was 6 UVS and the corridor parties that would occasionally happen there, and yes, it's so fantastic to listen to RTR from time to time and to look at, you know, all kinds of old and new shows that are still going, because I remember very clearly when we went back to air in 1991 as RTR FM, and, you know, quite a lot of people who said in their wisdom, it won't last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always very happy when I see those things, and here it is having its 45th birthday.
Kath, what was it like in that late 90/91 period when you were fighting to keep us on the air? What was that period like?
Well, I don't know, it was sort of a chaotic period, I guess. You know, when 6 UVS went off the air, it was a very sudden event. There was a meeting of the University Council, and it was decided that the station would not continue on air as of midnight that night.
Wow.
And so it was sort of literally called off. And we had a volunteers meeting that night, and it was announced at the volunteers meeting that the radio service would be switched off at midnight. And as, you know, anyone with any involvement in radio knows, the moment radio is switched off is a very odd moment. And there was a chap called Fred Haywood who had been the tech at 6 UVS since it started. And It was the only time I ever heard Fred Haywood say fuck. I remember him walking back into the room after the meeting and saying fuck really loudly and throwing his keys somewhere. And because he had put, you know, it was the first FM broadcaster in Perth, and he had put such a lot of work into the station and into the quality of the station's sound. And so it was very distressing for him to think that someone was going to turn the transmitter off. And literally, you know, that night we decided, okay, they were going to turn the transmitter off, but the service was not going to disappear. And that was the start of putting it back together. And 6 months later, it went back to air as RTR.
So many...
With exactly the same format.
Right.
As it went off air. That was the deal with volunteers, that we will put back on air what went off air. And so that's what happened.
It's evolved a bit since then. It's so many shades
absolutely.
Of wrong.
And so it should, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a community station. It should reflect the community it's part of. And so it's an endless change process.
Do you remember the first time you heard it, Kath? Because you're not from sunny Perth originally.
No, I landed in Perth in 1977 from Melbourne. And I pretty much heard 6UVS straight away. I was working at a dinky little vegetarian restaurant called the Sun Trolley, and some of the people involved in that restaurant were doing shows on what was then known as the NCM Collective, which was the non-classical music programs, because UVS was set up as a talks and classical music station.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have lots of silly jokes about contemporary music was fine too. And, and as I recall, these sort of early days of NCM meetings were basically parties at a house in Nedland somewhere that Olwen Williams lived in, and which, you know, largely amounted to a whole lot of people standing around having a drink and cracking silly jokes about, you know, jazz or folk or contemporary music was fine music too.
Sounds like Ollie. And so what led you into actually getting involved?
Well, I think literally, you know, friends and music.
Mm.
You know, everyone was into music, going to lots of music shows. I guess, you know, music is still a strong part of a lot of people's lives. But, you know, in the late 70s, it was a whole sense of sort of identification or, you know, what was quaintly called alternative culture. And so, you know, other people were doing shows. You know, you would wait for sort of new releases to come out, order them through 78s, that kind of thing. And it was really, I mean, over the years, of course, my interest in radio broadened considerably. And in many ways now, what I'm more engaged with is kind of talks and discussion radio. But, you know, at that time, you know, I think it was friends and music. There wasn't really... I did do some sort of training course, but, you know, really the only training I remember is, like, use these buttons, do not touch anything on the top layer of buttons.
It's still the rule, Kath.
Don't play anything with fuck in it or you'll be suspended. And that was about it, really.
I forgot to give a language warning before this interview with Kath Letch. I should have known better.
You know, it's now just a normal part of the everyday vernacular, but in those days it was a 2-week suspension.
Kath, in 1977, when 6UWA started, Murdoch University was only 2 years old. So I just give that as a little context of it is only 45 years, but such a lot has changed in community radio, in politics, in arts and education. How important is community radio in 2022?
Well, you look, I think it's still really important, actually, because it's a kind of collective process of content making. It's both the community of people that make up a community radio station, in and of itself quite broad and with lots of sort of tendrils and networks into the broader community. And it's reflective of the broader community. And, you know, unlike online media and social media, it's not just an individual perspective. It's part of a station. It's part of an identity, something like RTR that always had such strong connections through the entire sort of music, arts, cultural sort of framework of Perth, and stations like that around the country. And at the same time, you sort of have a responsibility in broadcast to encompass a kind of set of community values, a kind of responsibility about what you say, what you play, why you say it, feedback from other people. Whereas, you know, social media is a kind of articulation of a very sort of individualistic perspective. And, you know, we live in it seems like an entirely different world in so many ways. But I think, you know, there's also really kind of critical social issues that require discussion at a community level about what people think and how they feel about issues and what they enjoy, you know, which I guess is the kind of music and arts and entertainment and things that make our lives worth living. So unlike the sort of late 70s where the only place you might hear new music was a station like RTR, even so, it's still someone's particular kind of take on music or a genre of music or things that you might never have heard before or might not have been exposed to, or a local event that you might not have known about any other way. You know, there's just such a huge mixture of kind of perspectives and information and entertainment that comes through in a radio service like RTR. And I think that's still really valuable.
I know that Kath Letch would contest this with me, but she's the OG of RTR FM as far as I'm concerned. There are other people, of course, a community of volunteers and staff that made it happen and are part of why we are here today celebrating 45 years and later going to count down our 45 favourite tracks, WA tracks of the last gazillion years. Before we play what you've requested, Kath, what are you listening to now? What kind of music do you listen to now?
Oh, well, still pretty much the same kinds of range that I've been listening to for the last 45 years, which is pretty much sort of everything except trad jazz and death metal. And so, you know, I don't know, it's a whole kind of range of things. My latest favourite album is an album that I randomly came across called Vanished Gardens, and it's Lucinda Williams with a jazz band, Charles Lloyd in the Marvels. And so that's what's been, you know, getting some play on the CD player lately. But really, you know, there's just such a wonderful world of music and still, you know, really long-term favourites. You know, the typical favourites of my generation, really, in a sense, you know. I'm still listening to Patti Smith.
We're still playing her.
Yeah.
It's true. We're going to play some Black Eyed Susans.
Hey, Kath. Yeah. So we've had some, like, amazing feedback about your swearing, actually. I don't think you'd get a two-week ban in 2022. JB has said that it's great to hear some well-placed and considered swearing, and Mill remembers very clearly listening to you in 93, 94, hearing you on the phone while doing a graveyard broadcast, asking her what's going on in the studio. So definitely fondly remembered as well, Kath. Something that you fondly remember is the Black Eyed Susans, and you've requested Ocean of You. Why is that track so memorable to you? What is it about that track?
Well, there's lots of sort of connections, I guess, around that. That Ocean of You was on an album called Welcome Stranger that came out in 92, which was just after RTI went back to air, and it's a David McCoon song, who I think is, you know, a fantastic Australian songwriter and musician. I'm sure the Triffids will be featuring in that list of 45 songs somewhere. There would be something dramatic whoever voted on the 45-song list, if they're not. And so it's a David McCombe song.
It's beautiful.
Like so many of David McCombe's songs, it's, you know, poetry. And it was interesting because, you know, Welcome Stranger had a version of In the Pines, which was, you know, a Triffids album from somewhere in the late 80s. And in fact, was the kind of motivation for calling the In the Pines event In the Pines. It was, I could see the Triffids album cover the day we were sitting around the kitchen or somewhere, kind of going, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could do, you know, an event at the Somerville? And so there's lots of associations with the Triffids, David McCombe, and in fact, there's this fantastic film which I'm sure has been talked about on RTR, Love in Bright Landscapes, written and directed by a very long-term Triple R broadcaster, Jonathan Alley, on Dave McCombe, and sort of hitting theatres soon. So it just had lots of associations, and it's a lovely song, like so many of David McCombe's songs.
Kath Lech, thank you so much. Massive love and respect from all of us here at RTR. We're going to play you a song because you requested it. And thank you again for chatting with us on Artbeat.
Thanks, Kath. Lovely it's been.
Talk with you. Happy birthdays to everyone.
You are listening to a special Artbeat where we are celebrating 45 years of RTR as a station. It's Beck Bowman and Danae Gibson in the studio talking to people who have a bit of an insight into the history of RTR, both from a music and an artistic perspective. One of those people is Lee Kinsella. She is a curator of Crothers Collection of Women's Art at the Lawrence Wilson Art Gallery. She's a friend of Artbeat, RTR, and more. Lee, welcome.
Thank you too. It's exciting to be here. I'm a bit overwhelmed though. I thought I was going to be introduced as a brazen hussy. Which I would claim.
Yeah, I was going to say, and your problem
that
is
absolutely fine.
It takes you back, doesn't it, Lee?
Oh my goodness. I feel actually really old. Well, it's a bit of a nostalgia trip, but it's actually really important. So, yeah, thanks for inviting me along.
It's our pleasure. Hey, Lee, when did you first become aware of RTR?
I was in high school and there was, you know, the cool kids that were obviously going out and attending gigs way ahead of me. And they were very involved in, you know, listening to the radio. And I guess this is my alternate life, I guess. This is not kind of my professional hat now, but years ago, I was involved in a kind of a rock camp. Sounds kind of quaint, doesn't it? Anyway, amazing musicians. Lee Butter was there. A group of us all just formed bands, recorded. Our little cassettes were launched at the Fly By Night Club. And Ara Jansen, I think, interviewed myself and another guy who was involved in it at UWA, and that was probably, so I was in high school, and that was probably 1989, early 89.
Brilliant.
What was what was the music you were playing?
A pretty dismal. So it was, I think we were selected on enthusiasm with some tenuous connection to music. So, and really, we were, you know, there was a recording studio set up in a bathroom, and some of us had instruments, some of us didn't. We just kind of wrote songs. It was a cross-section of all sorts of kind of pop, I guess. Look, to be honest, if I ever find the CD, I mean, the little cassette again, I think I'll quietly listen to it and then hide it again.
You know, there's Girls Rock Camp as part of WA Music now, so the idea has legs, Lee.
You know, I think it's like those opportunities, you kind of fall into them and just realise the amazing creativity and the amazing skills on the ground. And I had no idea about the music industry, and it just gave me like a little glimpse of the amazing possibilities. But also, you know, you can get so much energy by hanging out with these people and their incredible talent. And to hang around with peers, I'd never met any of these people before. It was a completely new experience, and it was eye-opening. And it was maybe a little kind of foray into my labour life and working in, you know, the arts more generally, but it was a really exciting moment. And, you know, to kind of think of yourself as, you know, a singer or, you know, a musician for a moment, a millisecond, is kind of a nice alternate, you know, kind of universe.
Hayley, so when you think about RTR then and think about it now, what do you think is kind of that through thread that has come with RTR over the last 45 years?
No, I think it's something. I mean, I was listening to Kath. She spoke about it so beautifully. It's about, you know, people talking directly to their people. You know, I think you're a representative of many communities and the presenters. You guys are speaking to your people, but it's also an open invitation for anyone else who's interested and wants to hear what's happening on the ground, just to be involved and, you know, go down those rabbit holes and, you know, summer of soul and Brays and Hussies, you know, anything like that that kind of triggers some kind of interest or, you know, touches on a passion, then you can chase it up. And it's pretty amazing, but also how remarkable that you can have a conversation. You can text in a recommendation and then you hear it. And there's this kind of ongoing conversation with communities, people, multiple people outside of the radio station talking in and both ways, that kind of dialogue. I think that's pretty amazing. And it continues to grow and change. And you guys are held responsible. You know, if there's ever anything that's slightly out, I think you probably hear about it pretty quickly as well.
Beck, I'm wondering why now we haven't had Lee Kinsella present on RTRFM.
I mean, I think I've tried to convince her before.
Okay. It's for everyone.
Way too generous.
It's for everyone. Everyone should have a go at radio. It is the most fun you can have.
It is for everyone. And if you are listening and want to text in, it is, of course, 0405 921 921. Lee, if you were going to present a show on RTR, whether it was like 45 years ago or now, which show do you reckon you would awesome. Present?
Oh, you know, I probably go, look, it's Drastic on Plastic, it's Artbeat, it's somewhere in the middle there, but I think it's so great because you cross over all these different genres anyway. And, you know, you're speaking to an artist who is also playing in a band and, you know, these multiple, you know, skill sets that people have and all these kind of different ways of creating important content, you know, it's exciting. And it's probably, I would probably, because I'm comfortable more now in the kind of visual arts end of things, I'd probably go there. But you know, it'd be wide-ranging, pretty crazy conversations, I'd imagine.
Well, we're not going to put you under any pressure, Lee. We think you do a fabulous job at the Lawrence Wilson Art Gallery. We've been closely involved. We'll take the responsibility of doing the wireless, and you continue to do the curation, please. We're going to play a track that you've requested that I had to dust off from the CD library. Do you want to talk about that for me?
Look, it's another really personal connection. My sister, she hoiked in the back of the car and came into the interview years ago. She was a drummer in a band called The Wooden Fish, and before she was able to drive, I was her roadie and would stick all the drums in the back of my Daihatsu Charade, and we would drive down Beaufort Street to a sticky carpeted rehearsal room just down the hill from you guys in the station, and I would drop her there, go do some waitressing at a Mexican restaurant, come back, pick her up, and we'd do that a few nights a week. And so I got to know the band and listen a lot, and it's just that amazing moment. But also for her, you know, RTR played Wooden Fish, and she remembers setting her alarm on her clock radio and waking up to hearing Wooden Fish play on the radio. And I think that's the thing, you know, those kind of grassroots endorsement and encouragement and, you know, hearing these bands as they're emerging and feeling the way forward. It's a pretty special thing. So
never gets old.
That's the connection.
Never gets old. We're still doing that with new music each and every week here at RTR FM. The Wooden Fish from around about what year?
Oh, early 90s.
Yeah, okay.
I have to say this. I think we should put a photo of this CD on our socials because it is classic 90s cover, handwritten, and delightful.
It's for RTR ears only, and the phone numbers have only got 7 digits. The CD plastic is completely buggered, but there are 5 great tracks. They all work. And I think we, hang on, Mark Genge was the manager.
Oh, see, do you know, this is the classic story, right? My sister was the original drummer in the band and had since left when this recording was made. So, you know, when they hit it big and it got bigger, it was nowhere to be seen.
Great story.
So track 5 is Blood Into Water, and it is the one that we're playing now. Lee, thank you so much for making the time to have a chat with us and sharing some of those memories with us here on Artbeat today.
Oh, it's been so good. Thank you both. And, yeah, thanks for all the work you two do. It's really important.
Happy birthday.
Thanks so much.
It was actually 6UVS that I first got involved with, and it was around 1983. I had no idea the station existed. I grew up in the country, grew up near Mount Barker in the Prongrup Ranges, and I came to Perth after I left high school to, you know, start my life. I was very keen on this brand new FM station that had opened, which was 96 FM. It opened in 1980, because I'd never heard FM radio before. So I was kind of fiddling around on the dial trying to find it, and I came across this station that was playing some great music, and then I heard someone come on and say, you know, you're listening to 6UVS, and I thought, oh, that must be the call sign of 96 FM. And then they said, if you'd like to volunteer, we're always looking for volunteers, so please get in touch with us and so on. And I thought, oh, it's unusual for a commercial radio station to be asking for volunteers. Normally they pay everybody. And I kind of made a note, yes, I'll get in touch with them. And then a few weeks later, I was at the campus of UWA to see a Festival of Perth film at the Somerville. I got there a bit early because I'd never been there before, and I was kind of like worried that I was going to be late. And I was walking through the campus, and I had about an hour to kill, and I saw a sign that said Radio Station 6UVS pointing down to down a road, and I sort of thought, oh, okay. And I wandered down, and it was in this kind of ramshackle old building up where the Lawrence Wilson Art Gallery is now. And I pressed the buzzer on the door, and this woman answered and said, you know, can I help you? And I said, oh, I'm just curious to have a look around this radio station. She said, sure, no worries, I'll come up. Her name was Betty Herridge. I'm still in touch with her today, which is great. She was doing a Italian program because we used to have ethnic access shows on in the evening. Pronto Italia was the name of the show. And it was all pre-recorded, so she was just playing it off tape. And she showed me around the radio station, and it was this kind of romantic, I guess, building. High ceilings, very old, very creaky wooden floorboards that went down to this brand new kind of studio complex that had been built specifically for the station. And apparently it was the third safest place in Australia to be in case of a nuclear attack because the amount of lead in the walls. And so it was quite spiffy at the time. And I was enamoured with it. And she said, yeah, we're looking for volunteers. So the very next day I came back and they made me start stuffing subscriber magazines into envelopes and putting away records in the record library, which, of course, was all vinyl then. And I just fell in love with the place and started getting my way around the station and finally got to do a show, which was Stereo Round, I think it was a Monday at midday, way before Out to Lunch, the request show. And and yeah.
Was that 1983?
1983, yeah.
So it's almost 40 years, Bobby.
That's right.
And we're celebrating 45 years of 6UVS, 6RTR, 92.1.
That's right. And, of course, it was 6UWA before 6UVS because it was just a UWA station. And then Murdoch got involved, so they changed it to 6UVS.
Murdoch
to,
the university?
Yes.
Not Murdoch?
No, not Murdoch as in
the
Rupert.
Baron.
No. Thank goodness. I don't think it would be the same if it was him involved. But
So 6UWA, then 6UVS when Murdoch got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became RTR in 1992?
I think it, yes, it was, not, or 1991, I think.
Mm-hmm. See, we're very scratchy. Perhaps 91.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it was in the summer of 1990, or maybe early 1991, the board of UWA decided to close the station, and they just did it. They just walked someone over and said, turn this off. Then this kind of six-month period started where the volunteers and the members of the radio station formed a company called Arts Radio Limited,
mm-hmm,
and applied to take the licence for 92.1 off UWA. And UWA, from what I remember, had actually breached their licence because you're not allowed to just turn a radio station off if you don't want to run it anymore. You have to keep transmitting something, even if it's just some music with a...
A Walk in the Black Forest.
That's it. Or the B-side of Walk in the Black Forest, which is a song called Nola, by the way.
Excellent.
They eventually got the license and they came back on air as RTR,
mm-hmm,
which was kind of a play on the word art and arty. And they went back to air with the same schedule as 6UVS, which was, to be honest, a quite expensive schedule because they had a lot of classical music which required, you know, research and, mm-hmm, scripts to be written for intros and all this sort of thing, which obviously, as with 6UVS, they had someone that they paid to do that. But with RTR, we couldn't really pay anybody. Kath Letch was the station manager, and I think she was on a very low salary, and I think they had a salary for one other person, which was like an admin kind of role, and the rest, everything else was volunteer. At that time, I was in Sydney. I went to a Mardi Gras in Sydney and stayed there for 6 months before I realised, oh, I've run out of money, I better come back to Perth. When I got back, I was at a loose end. Mm-hmm. I'd had no work. I realised that 92.1 was back on the air, so I went into the Sanders building and said, look, I'm free and easy, you know, do you need any help? And they said, yes, we need lots of help. So I got back involved and became their kind of production manager for a while and made a lot of stuff, including the Full Frequency theme when Full Frequency started and Out to Lunch and all that sort of stuff happened while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a stint on the board, and as part of that stint, we negotiated the move to Mount Lawley, where we are now.
Safe and sound.
Yes.
I want to go back to something of the lost 80s and talk about ethos.
Oh.
Tell me about ethos.
So Ethos, which stood for the each to his slash her own show, and I guess in this day and age it would be the each to they own show, probably, was a show that was devised by Chris Keeley, a guy called Chris Keeley. The idea was that it was kind of like a radio show from the 1950s that was kind of kitsch and in kind of dubious taste, I would say. So
I think that's very safe to say.
So we'd all put on, you know, voices, and pretend that we were kind of, you know, in the 1950s. So everybody would sort of talk like this, and we'd play really crap music, like the sort of, you know, K-Tel sounds, 1001 strings, and all that sort of stuff. The stuff that, you know, you'd find in the back of your parents' record collection. We had basically two boxes that we'd bring in. One was full of records, one was full of old 1950s magazines, and we'd kind of read articles and ads and things like that and put our own spin on them. After a while, Chris left the program and I kind of took it over, and people like James Eade again got involved and a few of my other friends, and we did the show every Thursday night at midnight just before Colin Bridges' epic BPM show. And it kind of evolved into this bizarre, it's hard to explain.
It was experimental.
Yeah, it was very experimental.
It had its own following in a time when you couldn't just share on social media that you were listening to something really wacky.
That's right. And I remember when 6pm, the AM station 6pm on 990, moved to 92.9, there was a lot of people that were ringing up and saying that they thought they were listening to 92.9, and they were a bit taken aback by it. They said, you know, I can't believe this is on the radio. You know, you've got these people that, you know, we had characters like Dr. Lesbia Brazil and the Senator Thanelia Cunney and
Wanda Honeywell
and the Pastor O'Brien.
Ethos. Ethos.
Welcome to the each to his and her own show. It's a very good evening to the lovely Dr. Lesbia Brazil.
And, one of the beautiful swell there, and it's a very good evening to you, and it's a very good evening to our beautiful callers at home there tonight.
That's very gorgeous indeed, and I believe that we have a caller on the line. Hello there, caller.
Hello.
Yes, who's on the line, please?
Ryan from Gosnells wishing the Etho crew a happy Easter.
Why, thank you, Ryan. You're just...
Wanda?
Yes, Dr. Lesbia?
Have you got any drainage problems?
I do have a few. Hang on, let's check. Yes, we have a caller on the line. Hello.
I still think at this period, the early 80s in radio in Australia, it might surprise some to know, it was still pretty uptight, wasn't it? We still spoke in very clipped tones and taking the mickey like you did on Ethos and being so experimental was pretty important. I think we had a great space at UVS RTR in that period, much looser, much more experimental, perhaps dubious taste, as you suggested, but it had a place in Perth's art scene, didn't it?
Absolutely. There were shows like Artbeat that we used to do at 6 o'clock every evening after drive time. The arts had a big focus because there was just really no outlet on the media for the arts scene in Perth at all. The ABC kind of had some limited stuff, but it was more national arts stuff rather than local Perth stuff. And, you know, if you were like a visual artist that was opening their first exhibition at a tiny little gallery in Northbridge, you had no place other than RTR or 6UVS to kind of, you know, come on air and talk about your work and promote your exhibition. So,
and share your ideas with like-minded people.
That's right. But the big thing for me was the music. I mean, commercial radio was, you know, they'd have 100 songs in rotation and that was it. Whereas with RTR, the presenters brought their own music in and they weren't told what to play. They could freely select what they wanted to play. And some of the stuff you'd hear, I mean, I used to love listening at night when the specialty shows were on and you'd hear some great blues and some great rock, you know, rock and roll and jazz and all sorts of programs that would play stuff that you just never heard before. Mm. And there were many times that I would sort of ring the presenter and say, what's this track, you know? And they'd say, oh, it's this, and you can get it from Dada's, or you can get it from 78 Records, or, you know, Black and Blue Records in Fremantle or somewhere like that. And it really opened a world of new music to me after having grown up with commercial radio, which meant that, you know, it was kind of just a diet of that pop stuff. And
well, the 80s in particular, mid-80s, was a very strong pub rock scene in Perth.
Yep.
Massive crowds, big beer barns, five nights a week. What was the alternative? Where did you go to watch stuff that wasn't Perfect Strangers?
Probably places like the Shents, Shenton Park Hotel. There was the Hyde Park Hotel, obviously, that was like massive. Oh, there were so many venues in the inner city that I can't remember half the names now, because I was more into clubbing back then than live music. But
and what were the clubbing venues?
So you had like the Red Parrot, obviously, the Underground Nightclub. There was Limbo Nightclub, the Freezer / Aqua next to the Limbo Nightclub. There was Network, which is now, I think, Air Nightclub in James Street. It was a very vibrant scene, and it was also the start of the rave scene in Perth, where illegal raves were being held quite regularly.
I just want to pause there, Bobby. Did you not go to Connections?
Oh, no, I did go to Connections.
You didn't even mention it.
I didn't mention it because, well, it's still there.
It's about the only one there. So the rave scene, what's some of the music that you remember from that time?
I was very big on trance music. I used to love trance music. DJs like Mr. Whippy, Jeremy Junk, may he rest in peace. I loved, you know, that kind of Detroit house sound and so on. And obviously RTR really got on board with the dance music scene. Yeah, Underground Solution with Ben Stinger on Saturday night, which was just essential listening if you were into that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
The Rhythm Fix on Monday Drive Time. With Ardell Bucks and Chase was a great show. And then I remember having to try and convince Kath, the station manager, that dance music was a really valid form of music now and needed an outlet on the station, which she didn't agree with because she's a country lass and she thought it was just a passing phase. I eventually managed to convince her to put a strip show called Full Frequency on at 3:30 in the afternoon because I wanted to get the kids at school as they were leaving school, because a majority of the patrons of these raves were kids at school, underage kids. She eventually relented and we agreed to do it, and obviously now the rest is history. The DJs at the time were the kind of big DJs of the time in Perth. So you had sort of Rachel Harvey, Dan the Man, who's now at Triple R in Melbourne, Reese Evans, Jeremy Junk, and Saxon, of course, on Fridays. And each day had a different style, so you kind of had the housey stuff on Monday, hip-hop rap on Tuesday, Wednesday was kind of happy hardcore house day with Rachel Harvey, Thursday was trance, and Friday was that deep house sound that Saxon's known for. And it just exploded. Absolutely exploded, and it actually brought in quite a lot of revenue to the station, because a lot of the rave promoters would come in with a lot of cash in their hand, say, I want an ad on air for my rave, and we'd happily say yes, of course, and we often hit the limit of 4 minutes an hour all the time on that show. So I think the gamble kind of paid off, and obviously, you know, Full Frequency is still going, which is
absolutely
fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely fantastic.
What does RTR mean to you now?
I think the main thing I think about when I think about RTR is the relevance that it has in the radio scene. It's still a very local station. There's no networking that doesn't sort of take programs from, you know, the eastern states or overseas. It's every show is done here in these studios in Mount Lawley. It's probably the only Perth station that really focuses on the art scene and the music scene in Perth. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's amazing that, you know, after all of these years and all of the struggles where there's been times where the station's almost had to close because it's just got no money, it's still here and it's still relevant. And it's a very different station to what it was when I started, but that's a good thing because it's moved with the times. You know, when I started, there was no internet, there was no, you know, there was basically four outlets for entertainment, which was radio, TV, cinema, and print. And that was it. And now there's just so many options with the internet. I mean, you can listen to stations all over the world. You can listen to music on demand, you know, through your phone. It's quite amazing. But places like RTR still remain really relevant because I still find new music by listening to this station. And thanks to the wonders of Shazam, I usually can find out what the name of the track is without having to call the studio. But sometimes it does Shazam just doesn't work because the song's that, you know, out there that it's like, no, this isn't in any database. You'll have to call the studio and ask them what it is.
And if you are about to discover the artwork of young emerging visual artist in Northbridge, you'll hear about it here on Artbeat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is just fantastic because, I mean, I work for another radio station now. I have done for nearly the last couple of decades, which is a local station. It's a talk station. Again, we focus on Perth, but it's all politics and it's all the little neighbourhood issues that people ring in about. But we don't broadcast music. And we don't broadcast anything about the arts. Occasionally, when things like Fringe World are on, we'll have a couple of the acts that are performing in Fringe World come in on our kind of more lighter entertainment programs. But RTR takes it a step further and pretty much has those events covered in much bigger detail than any commercial station. And even the ABC, which unfortunately is networked still quite a lot. It's not 24 hours a day from Perth anymore, whereas RTR is, and that's just incredible.
It's local and lovely. Happy birthday, Bobby.
I can't believe it's 45. In fact, I'm still trying to work out how the station can be older than me. No, is that right?
What's the song you want us to play today?
You've put me on the spot here. I think probably Safe to Sleep, a song called Safe to Sleep by the boys from Yummy Fur. Yummy Fur were a band that really took off and became kind of part of the RTR family when Genge got them in on Breakfast quite a bit. And then he got there. There was two boys in the band whose mother was very active in the band as well. And Genge would get her on quite regularly, Mrs. Yummy Fur.
I'm recalling this now.
The song Safe to Sleep, I'm just actually going to quickly look it up on my phone because it wasn't actually Yummy Fur, but it was kind of like the boys from Yummy Fur, and I absolutely loved it. And it's kind of like a song that's always stuck in my head because it was played a lot at the time, but doesn't seem to be one of those songs that people remember, which is unusual.
I was kind of hoping you might suggest Goosebumps by Christy Allen.
Well, I know that's going to be number one in the top 45 WA songs countdown, which is coming on later on today. So it probably shouldn't be played twice in one day. Because she had Goosebumps, He's My Number One.
He's My Number One.
And there was another song, I think it might have been something like called Fatal Attraction or something that certainly wasn't a hit, but Countdown played it.
Good enough for us.
I'm pretty sure she was an Albany lass. And I remember someone saying, they worked in Albany in a supermarket and they at a checkout and they say, oh, Christy Allen used to come in here all the time and buy her groceries. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that being announced as the number one song for the top 45 WA songs later on, Goosebumps by Christy Allen.
Love your work, Bobby. Thanks for coming in.
No worries, Danae. This has been a bit like Lady Gaga and Liza Minnelli at the Oscars. I'm Liza. You're Gaga.
I got you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Best of Artbeat. Make sure you catch up on all the conversations on rtrfm.com.au or tune in live next week on RTRFM 92.1.